Wasn't that exciting? My daughter, Casey, the oldest one, got to see it when she was 4. But when I was trying to tell her it's sleeting outside, she didn't really care. But as soon as those flakes became obvious that it wasn't sleet anymore, it was real snow, she started getting a little excited. So she turned into a kid again. So that was awesome. Well, it's good to be here. And I want to just kind of, we've been on this topic of trust, trusting the Lord, trusting God. And we're going to continue that probably through the end of the year. And somehow Christmas service will be somehow about trust, I think. God's kind of putting that together. So in my heart, anyway. So it's important. You know, it's easy to say you trust. It's another thing to show actions of trust, right? They're two different things, and I want to talk a little bit about that. Let's just quickly pray for direction. Heavenly Father, just pray for direction today as we go through your word. Just open our hearts to hear from you. It's not about a man or a ministry or about people. It is about you using people that your message and that your spirit can just penetrate our hearts, that we may receive and grow and leave this place knowing that we're learning and we're growing in you, Lord. So just open our hearts and come in, Lord, and in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just a reminder to write a thought down. I got a whole booklet full of thoughts. I'm down to my last page on my booklet, so I'm going to have to find another one. But please write something down. What I like for you to do is write at least one thought down every service, because God is speaking to you. And when you know you have to write a thought down, you have to listen. You know, I got to write something. And if you don't write a thought down, at the very end, I make you write this thought down. I need to write a thought down next week. So write something down. And the point is that your experience with God should never only be here. Your experience with God should be taken home. And when you write a thought down and you pray about it, and you, okay, God, what were you really, I felt something in that thought, and what were you trying to tell me? You have a relationship with God. If there's any one thing you're going to hear from me, and you hear it over and over and over, that without that relationship with God, everything else will crumble. Everything else will crumble. You know, there's a reason why Jesus Christ is called the cornerstone and the foundation that never wavers, that you will never sink, because it is true. With him, we won't crumble. But when we don't have that putting him first in our lives, letting him drive, then things don't, there's no stability there. Even in trials and in hard times, there can be stability. There can be solid foundation. And so I encourage you to write a thought down and pray about it. I find that understanding the big picture in life it's easier for us to do our daily task when we understand the big picture. You know, I'm one of those supervisors at work that I don't just tell someone, you know, run a report, tag the student, and then just do that all day and just tag, 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 tag. I always like to tell them the big picture. When you tag, students get awarded and they're happy. And that's our job, to award and make students, you know, happy and know what their financial future is and stuff like that. And that's the big picture. Now tag. So when you know why you're doing this daily routine and there's a bigger picture, it's worth it, right? It's worth it because you see the bigger picture. And I think we may not always see the big picture or understand how the big picture is going to play out in our lives, but there is a big picture. Trust God. He knows what he's doing. I know sometimes you think God's confused because things aren't working out the way you want them to work out, but really, trust me, God's not confused. He's not. He's got this. Trust and obey. Right? There's that old hymn now. I get older every time. I get older, it gets older. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. So true words. You trust him and obey. It is easy to trust when all is well, but But, you know, it's not as easy to trust when things aren't going as well. We are to trust in good times and in hard times and trials all the time. In every little thing that you do, there is a big picture. In everything that you're going through, there is a bigger picture. Let me use Jesus' death as an example of that. Go to Acts chapter 1, verse 6, before we're going to get there in a second. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. Acts chapter 1, verse 6. When Jesus died, the disciples were confused about the big picture. They really, really were. You can read it. They're like, oh my, what's going on? And then Jesus tried to warn them. He said, I'm about to leave. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. You're going to be empowered. I'm leaving. And they're like, no, they're confused. But they couldn't see the big picture. And Jesus came back and he appeared to them. And of course, doubting Thomas wouldn't believe till he saw the nail-pierced hands. And Jesus came back and he confirmed the big picture to them. And he told them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's pretty big picture, right? That's the goal. And the disciples understood the big picture, and many of them, they died for it. They died for the cause, for the big picture, which is souls. And they died for it. They died for it. They got it. And John, as you know, he wrote the book of Revelations, which is all about the big picture, right? It's all about the big picture in that book. Jesus Christ will come again, and he will end sin, and he will end unrighteousness, and he will be a righteous king, and he will rule and reign. And that is the big picture. And we are all headed to that day when we're walking the streets of gold. We're all headed for that day. You know, it was a funny story. Laura and I were talking about some things last night, and he was sharing with me about, man, he trusts somebody and he helped them out, but basically he got ripped off financially from that deal. He was being nice, and I was just joking with him. Well, one day if he's in the gate in glory and he's got streets of gold and a mansion, he's gonna have to hand over 2 golds for you to pay back, right? But one day we're all gonna be there, and that's the big picture. That's where we're all headed, and Jesus Christ will end sin, and there will be no more tears, and there will be, and you know, you read the book of Revelations, and we've been studying that on Tuesdays, but it's the big picture. But before we get there, we have a lot of little steps to take to fulfill God's plan for our lives. A lot of little steps to take, and a lot of things to go through, but there is a big picture. And let's read in Acts chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. And Jesus reminds them, look, I know there's a big picture, but I need you to focus on the next step. Here's what the disciples said. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? You see, what the disciples were really asking is, let's have that time of streets of glory and that you are king of the world. Let's have it now. Let's do the big picture right now. Let's get to the end right now. Let you rule and reign this earth, because that's where we're headed one day, according to Scripture. And what did Jesus say? He said, because they got it. The disciples got the big picture. That's where they want. That's what they wanted. Let's rule and reign now. And that's what they asked him. When will you restore again the kingdom to Israel and will reign the world? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But focus, he says, you will receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, And ye shall be witnesses unto me both here in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. It will happen. But what did he tell them? Look, that big picture story where I'm going to, it's coming. But right now, I need you to take the next step. I need you to just focus on the next step. Get the word, the gospel out. Get the gospel out. And the disciples wanted to see Jesus rule and reign right now. And Jesus redirected them to get busy and to save as many people as possible from eternal death. It is not much different in your own life, in your life. We are headed to a big picture. We are headed to something big in our lives. But while we are here on earth and while we're still going through every day, we are to let the Spirit lead us and guide us into the journey, into our journey in Christ. So there is a big picture, but it's about taking every step with Jesus Christ. And so I wanted to turn to the story of Joseph. If you go to Genesis chapter 37, Genesis is easy to find because it's the first book in the Bible, right? Genesis 37. So Joseph, you can describe him as a young, eager kid, ready to experience life, ready to do it with just total freedom and go and he was trusting God to lead him even at this young age. He loved God and he was letting God lead him and he was just, you know, as they say, wet behind the ears, and he was just, you know, going through life. And he was excited, and he had dreams, and he was excited to tell people about his dreams. And that was him at a very young age. And so he tells his dreams to his brothers. And let's read Genesis 37, verse 5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we are binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose really high and also stood upright, and behold, your sheaves stood around about and made obeisances or bowed to my sheaf." And his brethren said to him, "Are you saying that we're going to bow to you, that you're going to have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet even more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it to his brethren, and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made bow to me." I can't pronounce that word. So it bowed to me, and he told it to his father and to his brethren and to his father. His father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to the earth?" And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. You know, he couldn't help himself. You know that those kids that, you know, and I have to watch Sarah sometimes because, you know, she doesn't know sometimes, you know, how well she has it compared to others, you know, that we minister to. And I have to watch it because she starts saying things. I'm like, oh, that's so embarrassing. You know, stuff like telling another kid, "Why don't you go to church?" "Well, I don't have a car. I don't have a ride." Like, "Sarah, shh." But this was kind of like Joseph. He was just so excited about the dream, and he wasn't even thinking that he was offending people. He just wanted to lift himself up as little kids do, you know, get attention. You know, just get attention and show everybody how awesome they are. And, you know, he was young. But the brothers hated him. And then all of a sudden, everything changes. Everything changes for Joseph, except one thing. And I'm going to go through that one thing. But let's read Genesis chapter 37, verse 26. They plot to kill him first, and then the brothers plot to kill him. And then they decided, "Let's not kill him. We're nice people. Let's just sell him." Yeah, that's nice. Yeah, we're nice brothers. So they sell him. And Judah said unto his brethren, "What profit is it if we slay our brother and kill him? and conceal his blood. Come, let us just sell him as a slave to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content. Oh, okay, we'll just sell him away. Then there passed the Midianites and merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit. And he rent his clothes, and he returned unto his brethren and said, the child is not, and I, whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat and killed it. And but long story short, they tricked the father to think that Joseph was killed by an animal. They showed him his coat and his furry coat, and that's what they do. They tricked the father. So the father now thinks Joseph is dead. The brothers did this. So here Joseph is, innocent kid, just wanting to, you know, show off and his dreams, and the brothers hated him. And they sold him away, and Joseph starts to go through very, very difficult circumstances. He's now a slave. And that's not pleasant. He's now a slave. And in Genesis chapter 39, it gets worse. Verse 20. After some accusations from Potiphar's wife, it says here in the Bible that in Joseph, master took him and he put him into prison. This innocent young man, excited about life, excited about God and showing him dreams, and excited about life, all of a sudden is a slave, and then falsely is accused, and now he's in prison. I mean, where's the justice of it all? We may ask. And a lot of times we ask that about our own life, right? Things aren't going well, Lord. Where's the justice of it all? There is a big picture in your life. And God is a God of justice. And He's a good God. But He's got a big plan. And the big plan, it's about souls. It's about people. It's about love. It's about someone who has no hope having hope. That's why I love the name of our church, Hope Community Church. I believe we're going to be a lighthouse in this area, and people are going to know that this body is dedicated to help people, because there's a big picture. There's a big picture. And so Joseph now is in prison. And now, what does he do? Does he begin to blame God? Does he begin to doubt? Does he begin? No. You know what Joseph did? Every time he was put in a situation, he made the best of it. No matter how rotten it was, he made the best of it. If he was in prison, he became the best prisoner cook they could find. If he was in this situation, he became the best at it, at the best that he could be. He would find his talent and he would do the best. And since he could interpret dreams, he would be in the prison and I can interpret that dream. Yeah. And he would use his gifts and talents and just try to do good wherever he was. You got to respect that. And you know, that's what the Spirit of God does when you let Him be first in your life. He will give you that heart to be content no matter where you're at. Because there is a big picture. Okay, there is a big picture. So we know the story of Joseph, and in Genesis chapter 41, verse 14. And Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, because he heard a rumor that he was good at interpreting dreams. And Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon in prison, and he shaved himself. Can you imagine how he looked? So he's going in front of the king, time to shave. He shaved himself and changed his raiment, and he came unto the Pharaoh. And the Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard a rumor, that thou can understand a dream to interpret it. You see, if Joseph would have started pouting and saying, I'm in this situation, I don't deserve it, and started pouting, I'm not going to help anybody, I'm just going to... Nobody would have ever heard that he had a gift. But no, he made the best with the gifts that he had in every circumstance. And all of a sudden, in verse 16, and Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, let's just make one thing clear, Pharaoh. And here's another beautiful thing about Joseph, humility. I'm about to interpret the dream, but don't think that this was from me. This gift comes from God, God Almighty. Let's read verse 16. And Joseph answered the Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. See, Joseph, in all the many, many years that he was in the dungeon and in slavery, he didn't just stay stagnant. He grew and he grew and he grew in knowledge and wisdom to know that at this moment he's in front of the king and he's about to do something, you know, maybe amazing, and he wanted to make clear because of his maturity now. You need to know, Pharaoh, that what's about to happen is about God, not me. That's maturity. That's humility. And he knew it. Because Joseph never lost sight of a bigger picture. He never lost sight. And you know, this story, we can all relate to the story. Because we go through stuff, and if we're honest with ourselves, we sometimes are upset at God because we had to go through something a little harder than the next person. We're like, God, that wasn't right. And we may not say it out loud, but in our prayer life, in our reading our Bible, we're like, I'm a little bit mad at God, but I'm not going to say it out loud because that's not the right thing to say in front of other people. But you know what I'm talking about, right? Come on, be honest with yourself. Oh, God, that's not the way it was supposed to work. I'm a little bit mad at you, but I'm never going to blame you because I love you, but you know, I want to go to heaven and stuff, but I'm just not too happy right now, so I'm just going to go through the motions for a little while. You know, Joseph didn't do that. Joseph continued to trust. He continued to trust, and he never stopped trusting. He never did. And he only grew. And you could tell his maturity now, because he knew who to give honor and glory to in front of the king. He knew. Joseph is now setting himself up where everything's about to change. I bet he knew it. I bet he knew it because his spirit was, I bet he was like, I went into slavery years, I was accused of this, and I'm in prison. And no matter all of that that happened, instead of me being like the lowest of the low, I'm about to stand in front of Pharaoh. That's why he shaved, right? Like, this is big. This is big. If you don't give up, if you don't just stay stagnant, if you continue to trust and to put him first and read your Bible and pray every day and begin that relationship, even in the hard times. And that's one thing about ministry. I was talking to somebody about this, and they're like, yeah, sometimes I'm just not feeling too good, but I got to go and to church, and I got to... I have to be the person the Bible says we are. Joy, peace. And I don't feel so well. Well, welcome to ministry. You think pastor feels awesome every single Sunday? Everything's going perfect at home, right? But you don't see it. Why? And I tell the story about my Sunday school teacher because that's where I saw it for real. You know, she was always coming in with excitement, telling me about the Word of God and teaching us in Sunday school. And I had no idea until she was about to die that she had major, major problems in her family and at home and a husband. And I didn't know any of that because all I saw in Sunday school was a woman of God with peace and joy. Right? It's not faking it. It's... Remember when the Bible says he gives you peace that passes understanding? That's the Spirit empowering you to be at peace even in the storm. Joseph got it. He saw the big picture. He was at peace even in the storm. It didn't make sense. But now he's in front of Pharaoh. And in Genesis 41:37, everything's about to change. And he gives them the dream. And there's going to be a famine. And it's time to prepare. And Pharaoh heard it and said, that makes sense. I want you to lead the famine plan. And this is what Pharaoh said after he heard about this interpretation. And the thing was good to the eyes of Pharaoh. He understood the dream. And he said, in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servant, can we find such a one as this man right here in whom the Spirit of God is? Wow, this is Pharaoh of Egypt. And the Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I have greater than thou. In other words, everyone had to listen to Joseph. He was second in command of all of Egypt. Wow. Now, I wonder in reading this story, I don't even think Pharaoh knew that they brought him in front of him out of prison. Because when he was in front of him, this was a man of wisdom. Where do you get all this wisdom in prison? You know how? He never doubted. He never stopped trusting God. He never stopped trying to make the best out of every situation that he was in. And because of that, he kept growing even in the storms of life. Just apply that to your life. Are you determined to grow even in the storms? Are you determined, no matter what, I'm going to keep on, even though I may not understand it all. I may sometimes feel like miserable, but somehow, some way, I'm going to trust that if I just keep on being in church, keep on reading my Bible, keep on crying to God, somehow, some way, the big picture is going to begin to reveal itself in my life. Amen? Are you feeling it? Because I'm feeling God. Just... It's so clear that his word does not return void. He's a good God, and there is a big picture in your life. And that's why whenever you get an opportunity to serve, you just do the little things. You do the best of every situation that you're in. You do the best. Maybe things around you aren't working out. Maybe people are letting you down here or there at work or in church or whatever it may be in ministry. It doesn't matter. We make the best of what we have. And God will honor it. You'll continue to grow. Amen? And here he is, second of command. Genesis 45, verse 1. Well, remember those brothers. They're coming back into the picture. And even Joseph now being second in command. You know, the fact that he gave glory to God was so important because Pharaoh said, you're God. You know what you're doing. Go ahead and be in charge. But the brothers come back and in Genesis, we're going to close with this. In Genesis 45, 1 through 8. This right here describes how Joseph got the big picture. He got it. It wasn't about the brothers. It wasn't about this. It wasn't about the prison. It wasn't about all of this. It was about one simple thing. God had a beautiful plan. And I bet you if you told Joseph, if he would do it again, the prison, the slaveries, the accusation, he would say, I mean, to God be the glory, whatever God wants. Whatever he wants. Because this is what happened. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all of them. He stood by him. Remember, his brothers had to come begging for food because they were starving in the famine. And they came and Joseph was hiding himself from them, but he couldn't refrain anymore because he told everyone to go out of the room. Get out of the room. Just leave my brothers here. Or he didn't call them brothers, but he said, everybody leave. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud. And the Egyptians in the house could hear it. Joseph is there with his brothers. His brothers don't know what's going on. And he's weeping and he's weeping. Because Joseph maybe has like this Egyptian mascara. You know, you've seen the movies, right? Egyptian makeup. They have no idea who he is. And Joseph said unto his brethren, it is I, Joseph. What's the first question he asked? Is my dad still alive? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were like mouth dropped. They were like, what just happened? They were just stunned. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me and pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother. You remember the one you sold? He had to get that in there. He had to get that in there, you know, just so that they know that it wasn't right. Now therefore be not grieved. Be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God sent me before you to preserve life. And he has so much wisdom now, right? He's like, it's a big picture here. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years left in that which there shall neither be earnings nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you and a posterity in the earth and to save our lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you, brothers, that sent me here, but God, and he has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Awesome story. He's saying, you deal with that, but this is all the big picture. If it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be here right now. And you know that's true in your life. If it wasn't for some of those hard things that you went through, you would not be the person that you are today. Because in it, through it all, you trusted God. You stayed with him. That's why you're here today. There's a big picture, church. So the message today is trust God no matter what you're going through, because there's a big picture and God is a good God. He's so good all the time. He's so good and he's there. And this is a beautiful illustration. We all have a story to tell like Joseph. Maybe not the same story, but the concepts are the same. We go through stuff. Sometimes we pout. But here's the message today. Stop the pouting. Right? You want me to show the video again? Stop it. Stop it. You know what video I'm talking about. For those of you who saw that about 4 weeks ago. Stop the pouting, the circumstances. Make the best of every situation that you're in. And trust God. Things will turn around. They will turn around. Just like the story, they will turn around. You didn't plan to have this problem or go through this or go through that, but it's still happening. Circumstances should never define you. Circumstances never define your joy and your peace. You can go through a trial and be at peace. Because as long as your name is written in the Lamb Book of Life, that's all that matters. That's why I love that story, and I've been repeating it. Jesus said, do not rejoice that demons are subject to you, but rather rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's peace. He was always a man of God who trusted God to lead him into this big picture destiny. And it was revealed to Joseph in the end. If we continue to trust and to take it one step at a time, we will see the big picture destiny in our lives. Because there is a big picture. Trust God to navigate through your difficult circumstances. And go through this journey with confidence and peace that at God's appointed time, you will see the victory. You will. You will see the victory just like Joseph did. That must have been an awesome day for him. There is a big picture. Trust God. There's a big picture. Starting with Sunday school, there's a big picture. Those kids learning Christmas programs, learning the gospel, learning the stories, there's a big picture in that. Every time we go out to the colonias and we help people, there's a big picture in that. Every time we serve and do things and are obedient, in the little things, and there's a big picture in that. There's a big picture. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you are here, Lord, and that you are teaching us to trust no matter what, that you're teaching us and confirming by your Spirit that there is a big picture, and no matter what we're going through, we will break through and there will be victory. And Lord, just like the story of Joseph, at the end of the day, you will save people through our lives. It is your will that all come to repentance. You want to use every one of us in this place to be laborers for a harvest. Because the wave is coming and you're preparing us. And Lord, we're ready. We're ready to be prepared and to go and to make a difference in the community around us. Change us every day. Help us not to be satisfied with ordinary. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. God is